All right, we are here. We are Galexis, and welcome. A pleasure to be speaking with you today on a topic very dear to all of you as well as to us. Because part of the purpose of your being here, part of the purpose of your incarnating at this particular time and at your unique location, and also for you to be listening with us today, is because you know that there is something afoot. There is magic afoot. There is a big change. Some people call it the great shift. Some talk about ascension. But you know something is changing. There is like a creative foment that is happening on the planet. You can feel it. If you just stop and just sense, you can feel the percolation of change. For so many years, you heard about 2012 moving into new consciousness. Well, perhaps you hadn't paid much attention to that. But 2012 did come and go. And no, the world did not end. You did not get instantly and completely, totally enlightened on that one day of December 21st, 2012. But something big did happen. And what happened was that all the assumptions, the expectations, the ideas about consciousness, about reality, about where human race was heading, all the mythologies based on prophecies, they all ended. And you plunged forward into a new world, into a new life that you didn't know the rules to. You didn't have the parameters for. You didn't have a clue. You didn't have all the assumptions built up. It's got to be like this. It's got to look like this. In a sense, a lot of your linear experience of time began to dissolve. And if you have noticed, since that 2012, there's a bit of disorientation. You're in unknown territory, new territory. This is new territory for the human race. And you've been working with the energies, responding to what's been going on, lots of change, and a tremendous acceleration. Lots of questions, lots of wonderings, where am I heading, where am I going, what's all this about, how's the best way to handle this, how's the best way to get my life in alignment, to get my life working well, to have a good life. I don't know all the rules. What are they? What do I need to do? How do I need to be? What's coming for me? Where am I heading? What's happening? All the pundits and all the channels and all the authorities I've been talking about a little of this, a little of that, going through this portal, going through that change, going through this. You can get a sense of an unwinding of the past as it's dropping away, meaning less and less. We're not talking about things that are dear to you in the present. We're talking about a sense of yourself. The way you used to be. You're not as attached to the old you anymore. You don't feel quite as needing to defend and protect the same old attachments, issues, senses of order, systems of thought and doing. In a way, you've been experiencing the new freedom. And indeed, you're here listening to us in the United States, a country that was dedicated to freedom. And you, as a spiritual being, yearning for your freedom. And then when you find it, you're now in this new territory. You are free. You don't know where your boundaries are. You don't know where the limits are, particularly. Oh yeah, there's issues still to carry, things still to figure out. But that sense of freedom is more present, more pervasive. It's almost as if, okay, reality is finally now really and truly up to you. Your reality is up to you. What do you want? What choices are you making? What actions are you taking? There's no right or wrong actions. They're only your preferences. And some people may say, but wait a minute, Galexis, don't we have karma? What about a destiny that we must, that we came to serve or do? And we'd like to remind you that in this new level of consciousness, as you look through the filter of your beliefs, of your feelings and your thoughts, as you look through the filter of your identity, how you perceive yourself, you are more now than you were before 2012 ended. You've grown tremendously. And when you look at life through this more elevated perspective, you can see that a lot of what you may have thought was karma, which was payment or retribution for things that you didn't do so well in the past, you realize now more than ever that you're pretty much an adventurer. You're pretty much discovering and learning how to be. What to be. And in that discovery, that it's all somehow or another your choice to experience the dark as well as the light. Yes, as a soul, part of your path has been your curiosity to experience dark and light. Pain and suffering on one hand, and joy and celebration on the other. Losing, winning. Now, admittedly, human race got a bit over-fascinated with the dark side and gave themselves limited experience in ecstatic living. But all this is changing now. And so your karmas are not written in stone. You're not a prisoner of it. You're not at the mercy of it anymore. Because you stepped into a new vibrational level, dear ones. And at this new level of self, you can make the choice to be free. And in that freedom, disturbing at times because there don't seem to be boundaries, don't seem to be limitations that are familiar that you've been working with forever and ever. You can set your own boundaries. It's important for you to do so, because the boundaries that you set aim you in a direction. For example, if you set a boundary that every action that you take, that you're going to evaluate every action to take in the light of whether it grows you or supports you, increases your awareness, increases your love, increases your empowerment or not. By making that awareness choice, you're setting a boundary, a positive boundary, a positive limit that, like the banks of a river, enable the current to go in a particular direction, to enable you to flow in a particular direction. The boundaries, you're going to make your choices that are empowering to you. You're not going to give your power away. You're not going to willy-nilly just, okay, I'll just go along with whatever. I'm going to respond and react to this in a way that is empowering to me. So I'm not going to take an action that is disempowering to me. I'm not going to do it willingly and consciously. What does that mean? The banks of your river are the banks of power. They guide you towards greater and greater power. Now, you may be frightened of your power. Some people are. But recognize that power that you might be frightened about may be a memory that comes from another lifetime, when you did have power over others and abused it, when you were a perpetrator, not the victim. You might have perceived people who are powerful as being kind of bad people. So all of this may have played into that sense of, oh, please don't let me get powerful. If I get powerful, I'm going to screw everything up. No. When you get powerful, it's not power over anyone else. It's power over your reality. It's the power to respond in a way that supports you and loves you and values you. This is one kind of boundary that's going to aim you towards a life of greater empowerment, so that your choices can matter, so your choices can count. And you want your choices to count. Don't you want to choose for the world peace? Don't you want the world to experience more love and harmony? More awareness, more consciousness, more health and vitality? Don't you wish that for everyone? When you are in your power, you can create a resonance, a frequency of light that will create a reality for you that reflects that light and reflects that vibration. And when you are responsible for that reality, empowered, loving and valuing yourself, this radiance of light spreads out into your world. And the changes start happening out there. But it all starts in here. It all starts inside you. Your choices. You are free to choose. At this point in your life, you are free to choose. You didn't have that before. This is the new world. This is part of the new rules, the new game. And there are several keys in this new game that are going to give you a sense of direction, a sense of the rules, although they are really your own, a sense of purpose, a sense of your motivation, your passion, your real choices, why you're here at this time, participating in a great shift of consciousness. These keys are, first and foremost, the essence of your spiritual path. If you were to look at spiritual path trajectories, spiritual path trajectories in the East, generally it's about getting a guru, working with the guru teaches you, trains you, you meditate, you raise your consciousness, the guru takes you along. At the end of that path with a guru, you essentially become one with the guru. You and the guru become one. The end of that road is oneness. You at the level of the guru. What puts you at the level of the guru? Is your knowing who you are and knowing the divine within you. The guru representing the divine externally. You finding your divine internally, you realize you and the guru are one. In the West, spiritual path has been much more in the sense of service. Service to others, teaching, and healing. A lot of the West has been about independence. Being on your own path, not being guided every teeny tiny step of the way by a guru, but in essence, learning how to be your own teacher, taking information from those people who seem to resonate with you, who seem to be able to share truth with you, and to take that truth for you to recognize and acknowledge your own truth. And from there to recognize and acknowledge more of your own divinity and get in touch with the God, Goddess, all that is within you. For many people in the West, it is about learning how to manifest. Many people get into their spiritual path by trying to manifest money. Perhaps the most prosperous pathway in the spiritual or the metaphysical orientation is to teach how to create and manifest money. There's seminars up the wazoo about that. But the key is you're not going to manifest anything that is really great for you, money, health, love, all sorts of conscious awakenings, even the powers and the gifts of perception that come with your spiritual journey, until you acknowledge who you are. So key number one is you are your spiritual path. It's about you remembering, recalibrating yourself to the divine within you. And what does that mean? That means you have to let go of all the violence and negativity that you have perpetrated against yourself. That means you must give up all the shame that somehow or another you're not good enough, you're inadequate, you're stupid, you're flawed, you're weak. You have to give up the anger and resentment that you're powerless, that you're not free to make choices, that you're stuck, that others in your life determine your life, not you, that your role is to serve others rather than be at one moment. That somehow you must sacrifice yourself, that you aren't that good. You must be the noble, martyred person, giving up of yourself to glorify God, perhaps, to give to others, to be the good person. But the self-judgment about that can be relentless. Yes, you can tune it out and pretend to ignore it, but it will come back. And your reality will bring you continuously challenges on how you see yourself, how you view yourself, what you think and feel about you. When you begin to think and feel and know and own that you're a divine being having a physical experience, a divine being who has chosen consciously to come into physical form, perhaps to help change the world, perhaps to shift the vibrational frequency. It starts with you. It is not for you to come and sacrifice yourself, get down off your crosses, stop flagellating yourself, stop beating yourself up, stop self-punishment, stop sabotaging yourself. You're divine by your very nature. And as a divine being, you have the right to make a choice about your future, about what life you want to live. You have the right to do it as a divine being. You don't have the right to control others. You don't have the right to change everything that's going on right now. You can't do that. You've got time here. It takes a while to make changes, integrate into the material world. However, your path is you. Stop judging yourself. Stop blaming you. Stop blaming other people. That's just you projecting out. Stop criticizing other people. That's you projecting out to there. Anytime you judge, you limit yourself, you stick yourself. Anytime you indulge in self-pity, you limit yourself, you stick yourself, because the self-pity person, the person who feels that they are useless, worthless, and don't have value, is a person who is trying to find how far away from the divine that they can get. You don't want to go there anymore. You've been there. You've done that. This is your time to return home. This is your time to walk the path back to that beautiful, beautiful, light-filled, unconditional, loving place of oneness from which you came. You chose to leave that, to come into physical materiality, and what's more, and here's where you really kick yourselves, you chose to forget who you were. Now, why on earth would you do that? Because you wanted to learn from scratch. You thought that would be kind of curious. You wanted to learn how to create from scratch. And what do you mean from scratch? If you already knew you were divine, no big deal. You could come and create all sorts of stuff. No problem. You'd be like Sai Baba. You could just kind of, you know, reach into the air and pull out whatever it is you want. You could pull out a pile of money if you wanted it. It's a big deal. But you didn't come to do that. Only some people can do that, and they do that for a particular reason, to point out to you that it's an illusion here. But what did you come for? Why are you here? You thought it'd be fun, an adventure, to experience the senses. You thought sex looked really interesting. You wanted to just experience the plethora, the amazing variety of species on this planet, and all the opportunities to experience every single feeling, every single kind of thought. And then you wanted to kind of start exploring and seeking, looking under the rocks, to find a truth here, find a mystery revealed there. You wanted to explore the mysteries and remember who you were. You thought that'd be fun. And then when you got down here, you thought, oh crap. Oh, this is harder than I thought. This is hard. Why? Because you came to move from darkness to light, and thus you had to start in the darkness. So you started in the darkness, which meant that you got a whole bunch of crap from your parents, your family, your teachers at school, other kids, a whole bunch of crap about how inadequate you were, or how you weren't good enough, how you should do better, blah, 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 all that crap. And you didn't know anything else to do but to buy into it. Okay, you bought into it. You forgot who you were, and you bought into all the stuff about how bad you were, or how weak you were, or whatever it was, or how much pressure you're under, that you won't be loved, you won't be appreciated unless you can achieve and accomplish this and that and the other. You won't be loved unless you can serve and just make that other person just totally need you, i.e. codependent. You learned all this stuff. Now you're unlearning it. Really, take heart, dear ones. You are unlearning it. Look at this. Think about how less you kick yourself and beat yourself up than you used to. Right? You're not nearly as bad at yourself. You don't nearly judge yourself as much as you used to. And this is even if you haven't put a tremendous focus on releasing self-judgment. You're just not doing it as much. Okay? Because you're on your path. You're on your path to allow the real true you to come through, the divine you to come through. And you've also come here to do some creation. Some of you felt tremendous compassion for what was going on the earth, and you decided you needed to come in. You wanted to come in and help. You wanted to come in and raise some resonance. You wanted to lift the frequencies. You wanted to expand the possibilities, positive possibilities. So you came in to get to create a map, to blaze a trail, okay, from the darkness, the pain, the suffering, into the light, the love, the beauty, the joy. You came to work, to walk that path, and it's the path of yourself. The more you acknowledge the divine within you, and the less you limit yourself by your self-talk and your emotional states, the less you indulge in lots and lots of fear. Do you know when you, if you could see auras or energy fields around people, when you see people in shame, they get very, very small and dark. When you see people in fear, they get very, very small and dark. If you see a person in self-pity, you see that they're just wrapped up in a haze of numbness. So you don't want any of that. You don't want to go there. So make a choice within yourself. I will not judge myself anymore in a negative way. I may evaluate that maybe I did some things that are incorrect, but I'm going to forgive myself for having made them because I did the best I could at the moment, and I'll let myself off the hook. And now I know better. I'm going to be able to make a better choice in the future. Yay. See how easy that is? When you don't have to go through beating yourself up and telling you how stupid you are and then expecting that life is just going to continue being just like that. Look at it. Look at the improvement you're making. Even without focusing on that specifically. You're on your path. And this is a timing in which you have come to be. You did not come here. Some people are dying off. You can see that a lot of people are dying off. But you came for this time. Because this is the time of your freedom. This is the time to choose. This is the time to create on the planet. This is the time for the new rules. This is the time for the new foundation, the new world. And who's going to be the leader in the new world? There are going to be many of you. Those who have found their way from the darkness to the light, who are acknowledging more of the divine within themselves. You're the teachers. Now, you may not go out and have classes to tell people this, but if you can live it in your own life, then whatever you do will be touched by success. It will make a difference. What you think and what you feel and what you choose will have impact on your world. It will make a difference in your personal life, making it beautiful. It will make a difference in your world by awakening people, lifting people to say, no, I want freedom too. A few hundred years ago, we wanted this U.S., the people who were here, who came here then, wanted freedom from England. If you notice around the world, one by one, all the controlled territories at some point said, no, we want our freedom. We want to rule ourselves. Many of them have done a very bad job of it. But that's part of the process. Countries, just as individuals, are on their own path from darkness to light. Unfortunately, some countries have to experience an excess amount of darkness before they move to the light. But inherently, because all the people, by their very nature, want freedom. Everyone wants it. Doesn't mean only because you're in the U.S. you want freedom. Mm-mm. Everyone in the world wants empowerment. They want freedom. They want love. They want to feel safe. Safe enough that they can go about a daily life and be happy. Every human being on the planet wants that. And you, dear ones, are part of the template of how to make that happen on a personal level. This is huge. So the first key has to do with acknowledging who you are. The second key is that you need to know how to create, craft, and align yourself to positive life track. Now, you know, when if you're in a profession and you go to a convention, there'll be tracks. You know, there will be educational tracks. There'll be the, you know, the elementary tracks. There'll be this kind of track, that kind of track. Sometimes they even talk about people that you're on a career track, right? Or maybe you're just, you know, you decide that you want to just be domestic and so on and be a mommy. You're on the mommy track. The track is a path. It's secondary to your spiritual path, which is the ultimate track you're on. You're on a track home, home to the divine, to divine union, to the return to who you are truly. But as you are in a physical life, you have a track you're on. Now, look at your life, where it is. You're on a track. Now, that track, you might feel that your life is just kind of one little struggle after another. We'd call that a kind of mediocre struggle track. Okay? Now, you may say, well, I'm aiming for this goal, right? So I'm aiming for this goal. But you know, if the goal is you having an easy life and in the flow and enjoying yourself and things are going easy for you, and you have an MO of being in little struggles all the time, we have to tell you, you're not heading towards that goal. You're not heading towards a goal in which you live life with ease. As long as you are identifying the person you are as one who struggles. So your identity helps determine your track. That's why it's the number one key. It's the essence of everything. But you want to understand that your track, the what it is right now, when we look at you, we can see that there are futures. You have multiple futures. You have possible futures. And then you have one or two probable futures. The difference between a probable future and a possible future is that the probable future is just simply an extension of what you've been doing. It's the same thing as where you are right now. Just sent out into the future. A few little minor, you know, tweaks and, you know, changes. But essentially, it's who you are right now, out there and sometime in the future. If who you are right now is not something that you're pleased with, you're not going to get to a probable future. You're not going to have a most likely to happen future as one in which you really love yourself and you are beloved by others. You're just not going to get that. So, you need to be able to consciously and willfully, your will, as a divine being that you are, your will then is in alignment with the divine will, okay? Ego will tell you, no, 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 it's ego. No. Your true will is to be empowered, free, loving, and loved, and safe enough to be happy. That's your true will. Everybody's got that. It's a foundation. And that is the divine will for you as well. Okay? So by deliberate use of will, and we say you have to have will because if you don't, you get railroaded over by the old beliefs, by other people's agendas. You'll just get railroaded. And a lot of people just, oh no, I can't stand conflict. I can't fight. I just can't stand that. I can't. No, 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 no. When they say I can't stand it, I can't fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter. Oh. That basically means you're lying down and being the doormat, and they're just going to roll over you. What future are you going to get? What's your life track heading towards? It's not pretty. It's not fun. It's abuse. Right? Some of you have been abused. And they always have noticed that, you know, people who were abused as children are more likely to become abusers when they're parents to their children. Why? Because what other system did they see? You were given all sorts of screwy systems. If you were abused, there was one. If you were shamed, there's another one. If you were made to feel eternally guilty and on the hook for everything, that's another one. Everybody's got something because you came to get some. You actually came in and you chose to get some crap. Okay? And from that would kick your ass and make you grow. Think about it. What is your commission of challenge? We call it a commission of challenge because it's your favorite area in your life what you consider the worst manifesting area. You know, what is it you lack the most? Is it money? Is it love? What is it that you feel that you always seem to fail with, that there's more struggle with than any other area of your life? Or is it your health? Okay, look at it. That's what we call the commission of challenge. Because what happens there is that when you get challenged, you mobilize yourself and grow. You force yourself to grow. You learn about it. Maybe you go to seminars about it. You read about it. You do stuff. You try to fix it. You try to learn how to deal with it. You grow, in other words. And you have this MO as humans. It was dumped on you. It's not really authentic. It was dumped on you that you have to learn through pain and suffering. Now, wouldn't you like to be on a life track where you learn through joy instead of pain and suffering? Where you're not a member of an enrolled student in the kick-ass school of growth? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you like your future to unfold with magic effortlessly, that you can totally rely upon and trust the divine plan to work for you? Because that's the way it's meant to be. So key number two is to find your life track. Look at where you are now. What is your current life track? What are you in alignment for in the future? And what life track would enable you to lift out of that commission or challenge and learn in that arena through positive ways, not through pain? Because every time you learn, every time you grow, you expand who you are. Key number one. And key number two, your life track will start shifting over. Now, your life track is actually, it's kind of like a TV series or a mini series where there's you see part of a story and there's a little plot in there and so on. And then you wait and then there's another story with the same characters that takes it further. There's a little character development, more story. And it keeps going, little segments with little mini plots. Each, if you notice in most TV series, for example, that every show, it's the same characters. When they, maybe guest characters come in to play various roles. But it's a plot, it's a storyline. That every week or whenever the show comes. For you, in your life, Your life track functions similarly. It functions from event to event to event. Event is like a little plot or subplot in your life. Okay, something happens, you need to respond. You need to resolve a crisis or a confusion or something. You need to resolve it. And so you need to learn something. You need to grow. You need to reach out, expand, seek, find answers, get new perspectives. And when you do, okay, and you figure that one out, okay, that's the end of an episode. You have made a choice there. Somehow or another, you're now aligned just a little differently, and you've made a choice there. That choice, based on that choice, you set up the link to the next episode. So, for example, if you go through something and you don't really learn it too well and you don't resolve it and you say, oh, well, heck, I'm just going to run away. What do you expect your next episode's going to be on that topic? It's going to come up again. It's like a person who has cancer goes and gets a surgery and gets the tumor removed. And then they scan and they say, you're free of cancer. And the person says, great, I'm free of cancer. Yay. And they don't change their life. They don't heal their life. They remain in the same structural, emotional, mental, whatever it is that created the cancer in the first place. The cancer will come back. And when the cancer comes back, it's worse. The cancer comes back, it's one mean SOB. And so the next round of surgery and whatever processes has to be more extreme. But you see, you get the opportunity to make a choice. You get the opportunity to know who you are by every episode. Every episode, every event in your life gives you the opportunity to learn more about who you are. If you don't, then where is your next episode going to be? It's going to repeat the lesson for you. Some people think, I must be really stupid because I have to keep learning this lesson over and over and over. It's just because you haven't made a new choice. You haven't acknowledged who you are. You keep thinking you're this same stupid, weak person. Until you stop that, you don't get a new life track, a better life track. Some people have to get more than one wake-up call. A wake-up call is an extreme crisis, totally challenging, in which a person must absolutely mobilize themselves and rise to the occasion and deal with it in an empowered way, or else their history. Sometimes people require that level of extremism. But you don't have to. If you like a lot of drama, then go for it. But we would suggest that you can deliberately and consciously direct and align yourself to a beautiful future. And you can imbibe the vibration of that future inside you so that you are invariably pulled to that future. In other words, you don't have to push and drive yourself to the future. You don't have to whip and goad yourself. You don't have to suffer and struggle. Suffering and struggle doesn't get you to a good future. Okay? Instead, you hold a certain vibration, a certain awareness, a certain perspective, at a certain level of choice, and you stay on a beautiful life track. And those episodes, you don't get an extreme difference between episode and episode. Okay? Because a life track, you don't just jump over 5 or 6 or 10 tracks to go to another track. No, you have to, at every episode, you have a, you know, if you look at railroad tracks, right, they have side tracks that come off. The train can actually go off the main track and wait on a side track for another train to go the other direction, and then they'll get back on the track. Okay? So, you can get off on a side track, and that side track can then have another side track, and another side track, and pretty soon you're really on a totally different trajectory. That's the way it works. Every episode can take you over one degree of shift. Every episode, every choice can take you one. Now, if you deliberately and consciously want to accelerate your positive creation of a life track, which is what we want to help you do today, you're going to make a bunch of choices. Now, these choices are going to be around what you're going to feel, experience, and know about yourself in the future. Okay? It's not about the physical manifestations that happen. In fact, no matter how devastatingly difficult physical manifestations are maybe in your life right now, or the worst that you've ever had, okay, whenever they happened, all right, no matter how bad that is, that has nothing to do with who you are. It's just your reality sending you some stuff to work with. Don't take it personally. You may have somebody suing the heck out of you. Don't take it personally. Might be hard to do. But if you don't take it personally, your ego doesn't get involved. You can allow your greater divine self to manifest. And whatever the situation is will resolve itself in a positive way. So every episode is an opportunity for you not to buy into your self-image as a victim, as a sacrificial lamb to others, as a weakling, as a not good enough, hasn't done enough, never can seem to do it fast enough, smart enough person. You can let all that go. And make a choice for who you see and who you want yourself to be. And that will help determine every episode you experience that you can go to a more positive life track, a more positive life track, a more positive life track. Now there have been isolated cases of people jumping tracks. Extraordinary breakthroughs, higher level ahas. Great destiny shifts and changes. But most often, when you have to change life tracks abruptly and go really into another direction, it's generally a very intense time of personal change. And it's often difficult to go through on the physical. However, if you hold the resonance of your future, the future you choose, which is a future of you, who you are becoming, and you determine that that is what you choose, and that's who you are, and that's all there is to it, you will get through whatever physical plane materialization happens in your life to the very best potential you can, based on your beliefs and your environment and all that kind of thing. Now, one of the things that people keep thinking, and some of you already know this one, it's a nice mind blower just to think about. The future is what creates the present, not the past. Okay? If you are thinking that the past creates a present because all the decisions you made brought you to here, you're wrong. The way you got here was because you decided you wanted to go someplace. You wanted to be somebody. And so you headed in that direction the best you could. That brought you to here. Your future was calling you. Now, you may have pushed and driven yourself and cracked the whip on yourself and slave-driven yourself to get here. But you made it to here, okay? Now, we're going to share with you a little technique that makes it really easy. If you'll go and visit your future in your imagination, you can go and select which future you want. You can experience that future. You can hold the frequency of that future and know the self that you are at that future. And then you can bring that back to here and now. And that will very gently, calmly, start lining you up. You won't need to go through a heavy episode. You can just start lining up with the meditation to the next track over to that beautiful future. You will feel pulled to the future rather than having to make it a lot of effort and work and suffering and struggle to learn and grow and everything. It becomes kind of intriguing. And a lot of magic starts to happen. And you start to get into the flow. The flow is key number three. You've got to have your identity, how you see yourself, number one. Number two, you have your life tracks that you're on, the direction you're heading, the banks of the river, the boundaries that you choose that will kind of ooch your life in that direction. But the river itself, key number three, is what we call the divine flow. This divine flow, okay, is in a sense what unfolds everything in your life, makes things happen. It's the movement through time, the unfoldment, the arrival of certain events, people, stimuli for you to play with. It's all the gifts bringing to you so that you can do your dance, so that you can walk your path, so you can learn more about who you are. It's the reflection of your reality coming to you at certain time posts in a certain sense of unfoldment and certain sense of divine order for you. Your divine plan determines your flow. It's where all the gifts of the divine are offered to you, step by step, for you to be able to deal with, for you to be able to entangle, disentangle, figure out, play with, explore, learn about, and grow with. Now, you've had times where things just seem to be in the flow. The divine flow. When things are going well, it's like it's magic. Synchronicities just pop into place. Things just happen. Things just move forward. It's so exciting. It's so much fun. That's the flow that you want. That's the flow you enjoy. The flow is the river being aligned by the banks, which is your your boundaries, your self-made boundaries, your choice of loving yourself, empowering, freeing yourself, moving towards that future you want. That flow needs to be nurtured, needs to be ooched, managed. You need to open up the life gates so that that flow can happen. Now, you were trained. You were trained to keep yourself small. Or you were trained that to hide the small you with a good amount of bluff and good presence and presentation. Same thing, but what really happens in there is that when success starts to happen to you and you don't believe you deserve it, things will happen like magic and open up and things, oh, this is exciting, it's going, and then it's falling apart. It didn't happen. We would say that most likely what happens is, number one, your self-image wasn't big enough to contain a success of that level. Your self-image could not contain that as being natural and normal for you to have that success. And so it became a fluke. It became an abnormal thing. It was exciting. It was like a kid being given a brand new toy. You're all excited. And you lost a sense of yourself and your power as you jumped all around in enthusiasm. Woo, I have a new toy. You went right back to child. Your auric field shrinks in and the adult reality collapses. When we say your self-image and who you see yourself to be determines your reality, it's precise, absolute. There are no exceptions. That's the foundation of manifestation. That's the foundation of reality creation. Now, another way that you can sabotage the flow is through just resistance. Some of you really just felt overloaded, overwhelmed by all the negativity and all the stuff that came dumping on you in childhood, and you learned how to do passive resistance. Have you ever seen a kid do passive resistance? Do you ever remember doing that yourself? It was like, you're in the supermarket and here's the mother with a little kid and the kid now has gone limp. You know? Okay, you're going to have to drag me. I refuse. I refuse to do what you want me to do voluntarily, willingly. You're going to have to just drag me. Or I'm just not going to talk to you. I'm just going to go hide. Think about how many times you've hidden away from a challenge, from a stress. How many times you said, no, 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 it shouldn't happen like that. How many times have you resisted getting close to another person for fear that they will control you, smother you, swallow you up, manipulate you, hurt you, reject you, betray you? How much armoring did you put up to protect yourself from the taunts of other children or the potential humiliation in adolescence? All of this is resistance. This is resistance. It says no. 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 Can you feel the energy of no? How can you expect yourself to be in the flow if you're saying no? Now, a lot of people say, but, Galexis, I'm an empath. I pick up all sorts of stuff. I can't just be open to all the negativity that's in the world. Yeah, you can't just pick up negativity. And we don't advise that, of course. You can't handle other people's negativity. You've got enough of your own. You need to clear your own out. If other people are dumping negativity on you, it means that the reality is saying to you, hey, you've got some self-negativity in there. Could you please let it go now? Here's where you still tend to shoot yourself in the foot. As you keep buying into other people's negativity, you start worrying about them. You start letting them influence you and move you and disturb you. The more that you are disturbed by what other people do, the more resistance you have up inside you. And the less likely you're going to have a nice flow. That flow that you want, that is the flow of success, the momentum of happiness. So you have to get rid of resistance. Now, here is the kicker. If you let go of all your resistance, you open your arms wide and you say, okay, world, I'll take it all. Okay, you're not resisting, okay? You're willing to receive it all. You're really willing to receive whatever is coming your way. If you do not have judgment of other people or of yourself, if you are not in a judgmental place, which is what nails down all sorts of little boundaries and conditions and limits and blah, 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 and in your own negativity, right? If you don't have that, then anything that's negative will not stick to you. The world will send you stuff, and just the only stuff that's going to stick is stuff that's in harmony with you, congruent with you, with your stuff. If you have an issue, you're going to get it blasted at you over and over and over from your world until you stop playing that game with yourself, until you stop that strategy. Your issues are your strategies that are not working well. And most of them are based on judgment, because that's where you got them in the first place, from your parents and family. You learn to judge early. Okay? Let go of all the judgments. Then all the restrictions that are negative. Now, when we talk about judgments, we're talking about negative judgments. You know, we talk about shoulds and oughts, and if you want to, you know, it's just amazing. People get into judgment so much. People judge other people, then they wonder why people don't like them. It's because they're so judgmental. Who wants to be around a judgmental person? Do you? Of course not. So stop judging yourself and stop judging anybody else. And stop judging the world. Even the villains and the nasty guys in the world, don't go off and judge the politicians. If there is any kind of real evil in the world, it's some of the top corporate giants like Monsanto. But don't judge them, because if you judge them, you're stuck with them. Stop judging. Stop it. And then the world will come your way. There won't be any obstacles. You'll be able to receive. Stuff will start to come in. And only that which is your resonance will stick to you. If you can hold a higher resonance, if you can hold the resonance of the future and allow the world to send to you, you're going to get something beautiful. You're going to have something more. Something brighter, lighter, freer, more love. You're going to experience more joy and success and health and vitality and all sorts of good things. It's basic. It's vibrational reality. It's basic metaphysics. The vibration of you determines your reality. No exceptions. Absolutely. So, to get your flow going, you want to receive and you want to give. You don't want to give out of shoulds and oughts, duty, obligation, guilt, or fear. Be careful how you motivate yourself to give. If it's fun to give, give. If it's not fun to give, well, either make it fun or don't give. But recognize that all the time you're radiating energy out of your system. You're radiating light out of your aura. Now, you may not see auras, and most of the people you know do not see auras. However, you feel, you sense a person's vibration. You can sense a person who's in a good space. You can sense a person who's empowered and free. You can sense a loving person as opposed to a judgmental person. Doesn't take any special training for that. It's just natural intuition for everybody. If you're around a person who's in victim and self-pity and complaining all the time, how does that make you feel? It drains your energy, doesn't it? It sucks you dry because your attention keeps going into that negativity. Why? Because there's still a little bit left in you. Let it go. Instead of responding by worrying about it or being aggravated by it or judging that person who's doing that or being upset or being disturbed, instead, project. Because every time you're disturbed, you're receiving negativity. Every time, okay? Because it's everything is coming in and it's resonating to you, so it gets stuck with you. This person is stuck with you, okay? Instead of receiving, instead of being disturbed, which it means that you're over-receiving and getting hooked into it, be a projector, okay? That's your giving. The giving doesn't mean that you have to go and take care of them, pick up after them, try to fix their messes, try to sit there and be sweet and nice and listen to them tell their tale of woe the 20th time. That's not giving. Giving is not necessarily going out and being in the line of the soup kitchen. Giving is an attitude. Giving is a free attitude of generosity from your soul. Right? The place where you start building that giving, which is the correct giving, that attracts the most beautiful receiving, okay, because they're always a pair, okay, is through radiating in your presence to radiate love and compassion for all beings. Now, you have to be on a pretty high level to be able to do this 24/7. The masters can. Some of the greatest people can. But you can too. You can now. But it just takes a little practice. What you do is you practice sending love to people. You practice building the light in your heart and just sending this light out to people. When you see people suffering, instead of rushing over to help them because you think that that's your service and that's seva, that's what you absolutely must do, before you do that, and we're not saying that you'll never do that, so for some of you, that is true to you and gives you great joy. However, first, it must be a conscious awareness, a conscious choice of joy. If it's not, you need to shift something. But what we would say is when you see people suffering, and there's plenty of examples around the world, and you see it on local news every night, You know, the child that gets run over by the car. And it was like the, you know, this great, you know, absolutely wonderful kid, great achiever, made good grades, everybody loved him, and everybody's so sad. Have compassion for them. That's hard. That's suffering. They're going through loss and suffering. Don't you get caught up in fear, oh my gosh, what happens if I lose my dear ones? Oh gosh, that's so painful. I don't want to pay any attention to, oh gosh, that hurts. I don't want to think about it. That's resistance. Instead, love them. Send them love, heart to heart. Send love to them. There, you see their picture on TV of the suffering parents or whoever. Send love to them. Have compassion for their experience. When you do that, who are you? You have lifted yourself up. You have expanded your light. You're greater than you were before. If somebody is angry at you, if somebody is mistreating you or trying to, what would happen if instead of fighting back, being disturbed and upset, going on a crying jag, eating junk food, or calling a lawyer to sue, what if instead you had compassion for this person and you did not take whatever they're saying or doing personally, but you had compassion for them, love and compassion. You realize that they're very, very upset. They're very disturbed and they're targeting you for some reason. Do you still have inside yourself a place where you're enraged and angry at what other people do to you, or jealous of other people? So give it, let it go, and forgive yourself for having held on to it, okay? Because this person is just reflecting something to you. Or is that person maybe reflecting to you this, hello, this is the way, this is the place you usually get your power lost. Here's where you give your power away, usually. So here it is again, another opportunity for you to take your power back from this person. So you take your power back, all you have to say, guess what? Power returned to me. It's easy. It's actually easy. Power returned to me. Is there somebody in your life that you've given your power away to? Sure. That you've given excess attention to, that you can be depleted by, that you feel like you should serve or do something for them, or you feel guilty because you haven't done enough of them. Somehow or another, they know how to get you to do stuff for them or whatever. And you've frustrated, tired. Just take your power back. It can change the whole situation. Because a person who is wanting to antagonize you is counting on you resisting, which is essentially saying, okay, I'll join you in the fight. Let's see who wins and let's see who's right. Have you ever had an argument where you wanted to prove you were right? Everybody has. Because that's the essential basis of arguments. Who's right and who's wrong? Can you give up being right? That's an ego, you know, addiction. It's being right. I'm suffering and I'm in pain and torture, but I'm right. So when somebody's attacking you, suing you, persecuting you, harassing you, don't judge them. Take your power back. Send love and compassion to them. Feel compassion for them. And surround them with light. Now, you're not supporting their bad activities. A lot of people say, but won't that reinforce their bad behavior? No, not really. What you might have to do is do a little self-protection. You surround them in a ball of light, and then you instruct that ball of light to contain their negativity. Instead of it coming out at you, spewing at you, and spewing at other people, because if you have a negative person in your life, that person isn't just negative to you. They're negative to other people, too. They're judgmental. Don't judge them. Everybody has to go through this or something at some point in their life. It's just immaturity. Instead, just surround them in that bubble of light and say, okay, all the spewing, all the judgment, just comes out, bounces back against the wall of that bubble, and bounces right back to them. And then maybe they can take responsibility for it and be aware of it and take care of it. And it'll protect you. It's not that you're doing it out of revenge. You're not resisting them. You're actually giving them an opportunity to be responsible for their stuff. A lot of people really don't want to be responsible. You, on the other hand, need to be willing to be responsible, because when you are responsible, truly, it's not that you're burdened down with shoulds and oughts and duties and obligations and guilt and all that. No. When you're responsible, you have power of choice. You want that at all times. Take responsibility any chance you get, because you can be in your power. And when you do that, you increase, activate, initiate, accelerate your flow. And if you do it in the boundaries of self-empowerment, self-love, self-value, looking through the eyes of a greater self with love and compassion to all beings, plants, animals, rocks, people, nature, universe, crazy people, loony people, mean people, violent people, ugly people, love and compassion, the flow will continue for you. It becomes easier. Life becomes easier. And then the connections that are made for you, out of sight, by your spiritual helpers, and you all have quite a few, unseen friends, spiritual guides, helpers, you name it, around you, they will line stuff up for you. They will line it up for you. Now, you don't see them do that, and it's done in time, so it doesn't happen instantly. But if you trust the divine plan, this flow gently will take you where you are to go, where you want to go, where is the best place for you to go, where the greatest future is for you. Three keys: self-image and knowing who you are, determining consciously and deliberately your life track, and three, maintaining, activating, accelerating, allowing, through giving and receiving, freely being the flow. Now, what we're going to do in just a short while is we're going to take you on a meditation. And in this meditation, we are going to work with you, specifically individually with you, during the meditation. And we're going to go and look at your future life tracks. We're going to go and find what we would call your darker futures, or your mediocre futures, or just simply the extended futures. We're going to go look at some of the futures that you got stuck into tracks towards, so that you can kind of see where you're heading. Now, if you're part of a culture, they're collective stuff that is part of your life track, for example, aging. The collective believes in aging, that in time, that there is entropy of the body, of the vehicle, and you age. And when you age, and there's judgments about aging, everybody has them from the culture. You look ugly. You're weak. You're sick and fragile. Blah, 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 and on and on. Terrible stuff. And then looking at dying. Dying, you will all do. But are you going to do it lifting into the oneness? Are you going to do it by disease, decay, and suffering? You got that out there on your life track right now. So we're going to go and look at it, and we're going to lift a lot of this negativity. We're going to shift and start moving energy out of your life track. We're going to lift dark futures for you and with you. Would you like that? Okay. All right. Because you don't want to keep heading in that direction if you can help it, right? So what we're going to do first, before we take you on this meditation, is we're going to let the channel come back. We're going to go on a break. Okay? So that you can go to the bathroom, get yourself settled for, like, let's make it a little bit brief. So go straight to the bathroom if you need to. 10-minute break. And then we will do a meditation. All right? If you have questions, we will address those in the afternoon. But for right now, we want to take you on this process. And so for now, we're going to stop and we're going to be quiet for just a few seconds. If you would join us in that. And then you'll take your break.